Well, welcome. I'm Danny Brown. I'm the lead pastor here at Abundant Life Worship Center. And today we're going to be talking about blessing our enemies. This is the second part in the series on loving your enemies, and you don't want to miss this. So let's get right to it. All right. So we're on a series about loving our enemies, and specifically today talking about blessing our enemies. What does that mean? Well, where does this come from? This comes from a scripture where Jesus was teaching about how we should treat our enemies. Let's read it right now. Matthew chapter 5, 43 to 48. And it says this, Jesus' teaching says, your ancestors have also been taught, love your neighbors and hate the one who hates you. However, I say to you, love your enemy, bless the one who curses you, do something wonderful for the one who hates you, and respond to the very ones who persecute you by praying for them. For that will reveal your identity as children of your heavenly Father. For he is kind to all by bringing the sunrise to warm and rainfall to refresh, whether a person does what is good or evil. What reward do you deserve if you only love the lovable? Don't even tax collectors do that? How are you any different from others if you limit your kindness only to your friends? Don't even the ungodly do that? Since you are the children of a perfect Father in heaven, you're to be perfect like him. So here is Christ teaching clearly that we need to love our enemies. And he very specifically says, it used to be a different way. You were taught, your ancestors used to do it differently. And obviously in Old Testament, you can find some scripture about that, right? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, hating the enemies and even praying curses upon enemies. But Christ says, I want you to be different. And he tells Christians, those following him, you need to love your enemies. And he gives three practical ways to do that. And he says you need to bless them with your words. You should do something good for them and praying for them. Now last, on the first part of this series, we talked about praying for your enemies. And I chose that one first because I believe if you can't pray for them, you definitely won't be able to bless them. You definitely won't be able to do something good. So we looked at praying for them. Today specifically though, we're going to look at blessing our enemies. What does that mean? Why should we even do that? Let's have a look. All right, here's a great verse about blessing our enemies. Proverbs 11, 9 to 13. It says, with his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there's joyful shouting. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. But by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down. He who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding keeps silent. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. So here in Proverbs chapter 11, 9 to 13, it's clearly talking about our mouths and how it can affect the city we live in, how it affects our neighbors, and obviously how it affects us. And so we are being told by the writer, God himself speaking through the writer, that we can bless and exalt a city by our words. You see, yours and my words have great power, and we are told how to use it and to use it well. You see, we can become negative, critical, and destroy things with our words, or we can choose to bring blessing to our city. Now, I've chosen this one because I want you to understand that when you bless something, you cause it to be changed, transformed one way or another. And God says that we should be causing the place where we live to be lifted up, built up, exalted, become better because of the blessing we speak. You see, the word blessing here in this scripture that we've read means a benediction or spoken words of God's favor, protection, and prosperity. Now think about this for a minute. So blessing our enemies would mean that we want to speak words of God's favor, protection, and prosperity over them. Now there's something that maybe you weren't thinking you want for your enemies. But let me read you one more verse and we'll go into that a little more. 1 Peter 3:8-9 says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you a blessing. God has called us to do what? To bless people. You see, that is who we are. We're to be light and salt in the world if we're a believer, a Christian. We are called to bless other people. And what an amazing place to live, in a place where you're blessing one another, building one another up. That's a good place. When people become critical, negative, and destructive with their mouths, nobody wants to live there. But you and I have been told through Scripture that we should even, yes, bless our enemies. Now, maybe you're listening to this and right now you're thinking to yourself, no way. I don't want to bless my enemies. God should give them what they deserve. Well, hold on a minute. You need to remember, if God gives your enemies what they deserve, it means He also is going to have to give you what you deserve. Do you want what you deserve? No, you probably don't. And if you understand Scripture and you're a believer, you've asked Christ to forgive you for all the mistakes you've made. But yet in your mind right now, you're feeling, oh, my enemies should get everything they deserve. Listen, we don't bless our enemies because they deserve it. We bless them because Jesus told us to bless them. You see, God doesn't give us what we deserve because He's merciful and loving. Let me read to you Psalms 103:8-14. It says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens from the earth. He has removed our sins far from us, as far as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. You see, God is merciful to people. And yes, that even includes your enemies. You see, God doesn't want anyone to perish, not even your enemies. Think about it for a minute. You and I were once enemies of Christ. Before we came to know Him, before we became a believer, and we asked Him to come into our lives and forgive us, and He asked us to follow Him. We once were that. But God's mercy made it possible. His love made it possible. And He wants to do the same for your enemies. 2 Peter 3:9 says this. The Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. You see, Christ Jesus wants everyone to have that opportunity, even your enemies. Look at Romans 2:1-4. It says this, you may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad. And you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you're condemning yourself. For you who judge others do the very same things. And we know that God in his justice will punish anyone who does such things. Since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? Now listen, verse 4. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? You see, God's mercy, his love, his desire is to see all people turn from sin and be saved. To see all people have that opportunity for a transformed new life. Yes, even your enemies. That well-known verse that so many know, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life." Because he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yes, that includes yours and my enemy. God wants them saved just like he wants you saved. You see, when we declare blessing on someone who is an enemy, something in their lives begins to change. You see, our words and the blessing that we bring has power with it, and it causes something to begin to change in the supernatural and also in the natural. You see, if our blessing can transform an entire city, it can surely transform an individual. Yours and my words of blessing require things in the natural and the supernatural to line up so that blessing can come. And now, you and I know God can't bless sin, and maybe you're thinking in your mind, well, if I speak blessing for my enemy, they're such terrible sinners. Hold on a minute. You probably were at one time too, but yet God is now blessing you. Why? Things changed in your life. You asked him in. You asked him to forgive you, and he began to change things. When you and I bless our enemies, we are putting words of declaration by the anointing of God, by his presence, his power on those words, because he told us we can do it here in the Bible. And when we do that, things have to line up. Things have to change. Listen to Jeremiah 5:25. We know God can't bless sin. So Jeremiah 5:25 says, "Your iniquities have turned these good things away, and your sins have kept good from you." Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." So yes, we understand that God won't bless sin, but when you and I declare blessing, we automatically cause something to begin to change in even our enemies. And when we bless our enemy, we set them up for transformation to begin. We automatically, by speaking those words, cause things to begin to change. Opportunities will arise for them to hear the gospel. Opportunities will arise for them to see the truth. You see, when we speak, it will happen if we believe it. Now here's a verse you've probably heard me share before. Mark 11:22 to 23. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." If I'm declaring blessing over an enemy, I am automatically saying clearly that their lives are going to be in a position where blessing can come. Now, that's a good thing. Because if they're living in sin, it's going to have to be confessed and repented of. If they're working in anger and putting things that they shouldn't, that's going to have to change for blessing to come. Now, maybe today you're thinking, yeah, but you don't know my enemies. There's no hope for them. It's impossible. They've been talked to before. They know the gospel. Maybe you're even thinking, well, my enemies, they are believers, but they fight me. Listen, there's nothing impossible if you believe it. God can change and transform your enemies. And it will begin when you're willing to pray for them and when you're willing to bless them with your words. Let me give you an example of a situation that was completely impossible from Scripture to encourage you that there is nothing impossible with God. Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 to 14. It is a story where God takes Ezekiel in a spiritual vision, if you will, and shows him a valley filled with dry bones. Listen to the story for a minute as I read it here. In chapter 37, verse 1, Ezekiel is telling the story of what happened. And he says, "The power of the Lord was upon me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley full of old dry bones that were scattered everywhere across the ground. He led me around among them, and then he said to me, 'Son of dust, can these bones become people again?' I replied, 'Lord, you alone know the answer to that.' Then he told me, 'Speak to the bones and say, O dry bones, listen to the words of God. For the Lord God says, see, I am going to make you live and breathe again. I will replace the flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you, and you shall live and know that I am the Lord.' So I spoke these words from God, just as he told me to, and suddenly there was a rattling noise from all across the valley, and the bones of each body came together and attached to each other as they used to be. Then as I watched, the muscle and flesh formed over the bones, and skin covered them, but the bodies had no breath. Then he, God, told me to call to the wind and say, 'The Lord God says, come from the four winds, O Spirit, and breathe upon these slain bodies that they may live again.' So I spoke to the winds as he commanded, and the bodies began breathing. They lived and stood up, a very great army. And then he told me what the vision meant. 'These bones,' he said, 'represent all the people of Israel. They say, we have become a heap of dried out bones. All hope is gone. But tell them, the Lord God says, my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again and to return to the land of Israel. And then at last, O my people, you will know I am the Lord. I will put my spirit into you, and you shall live and return home again to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have done just what I promised.'" I don't know about your situation. I don't know about your enemies. But I can tell you, if there is hope for dead, dried out old bones to live again, there is hope for your enemies. There is hope for your situation. You know, as I read this, I can't help but think that there may be situations that come to your mind that are even outside of the realm of your enemies, but situations in your life. And you're thinking, really? God can do that much of an impossible thing? Yes, he can. You see, old dry bones were scattered everywhere. If you're a hunter or know someone who hunts, if they find old dry bones out in the bush, they will be scattered by different birds of prey and coyotes. The bones will be scattered everywhere. And this was a picture of impossibility. There's no way. You can't even find the bones to put them together. Half of them may have been chewed up. But God says nothing is impossible. And the thing I love about this story is God wanted his people to know that there was hope. He had a plan that he wanted to fulfill. He wanted to bring them back into their land where they would flourish once again. God wanted it, but he didn't do it without people involved in the process. You know, many times people will blame God. Why doesn't God just change this? Why doesn't God just do it? How come if God has power, he doesn't? God wanted it done, but he chose a person to declare the word. You see, God gave people authority, dominion here on earth. He gets involved when we invite him to be involved. And he said, this thing that I want to do, Ezekiel, I want these bones to live, but I need you to declare it. What is God asking you to declare in your life right now? Are you sitting back upset and declaring, God, you did, wait. What does he want you to declare? What does he want you to speak over your situation? I can tell you this, he wants you to speak life, not death. Life and death are in the power of your tongue, and he wants you to speak life. What are you speaking over your business right now? Are you speaking, my business is going to fail? There's just no way it can work because of the government. Stop. There's no way dead, dry bones can live again either in the natural. But we don't live in only a natural place. We live in a supernatural place as well. Begin to declare what God speaks. Your business will thrive. Your business will once again be fully opened. You will thrive. God will pour into it like never before. And that's for somebody watching right now. Do not give up hope. God is going to turn it around, and we've declared turnaround for your business. For some watching today, maybe in your mind you're thinking, what about church? It seems like they've been closed down and we can't do it. Let me declare the word of God right now over our church. We will meet again completely free to worship and reach people and touch lives in our community. Declares the word of God. It will happen, and it will happen soon. But specifically today, let me get ready to finish up with this. We can also believe for our enemies to be transformed and end up serving God with us. When you choose to stop fighting them and start praying and blessing them, they're no longer enemies. Now there's someone you care about deeply. You see, God doesn't want our enemies to be destroyed. He wants them transformed, just like he did for you and I. You know, maybe today you're watching this message and you're not a believer. You've never asked Christ to come into your life. Maybe you're watching this, you're thinking, I would love to be transformed. I feel hopeless at times. I don't know what to do. Listen, give your life to Jesus. Ask him to forgive you of all your sin. Ask him to make you new, and transformation will begin right there and then. Right now it can begin. If that's something you want, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. I thank you, Jesus. You give me hope and a future. I am saved. Amen. If you prayed that today and you believe that in your heart, you are now a Christian. You are saved. You have Christ who's made you new and has a good future for you. Hey, if you want to, why don't you connect with us? You can go to our website, www.alwc.church. Also today, I want to pray for each of you that you would have that love of Christ for your enemies so that you'd be able to truly bless them with your words. That you'd be able to speak words that say you want them to have God's favor, that you want them to be protected, that you want them to prosper. And when you begin to declare those words of blessing, God will bring change. You will no longer have an enemy, but you'll have someone that you care deeply about that God is working on. So let's pray that right now. Lord Jesus, I pray for each one watching that you would give them the love and compassion you have for their enemies. That God, they would be able to speak words of blessing that would in turn bring transformation to each and every person they feel is an enemy. So even right now, together, we declare blessing to our enemies. The blessing that brings transformation. We thank you, Lord. Their lives begin to change. Their lives begin to line up to what you would have so that blessing can come. We thank you, Lord. You have a great army of people. You have an army of people who will serve you and who will go forward like never before. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it. Hey, we love you, and God loves you more than you can imagine. We'll see you next time.